Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. This is the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks for tuning in this morning to listen. Well, this last week on Monday and Tuesday, we had quite a bit of rain, didn't we? I felt like it was back in Salem, Oregon, where I used to live, where usually during this time of the year, it's raining all the time. And so it was really neat to have that rain for a couple of days to kind of wash everything down and the refreshing that came from that. So hope that you didn't have any difficult circumstances because of all that rain. I know quite a few people had leaks in their roof. In fact, at the gym where I go, they had buckets out in several different places because their roof was leaking too. So I hope you got through that relatively unscathed. Anyway, we are in the book of Ecclesiastes, and remember, this is a book that Solomon wrote, and especially, you know, as he kind of considered his life, looked at his life, and all the different things that were happening throughout his life, and coming to a perspective at the end that we'll get to. But as he goes through, he's just laying out all of these different ideas and thoughts for us about life under the sun, and trying to help us to realize, again, as we've said before, and we're going to say all the way through here, that if all we do is have a perspective of life just from here, we're going to miss out. We're going to get ourselves in all kinds of messes and troubles, and we're going to have all kinds of frustrations and sorrows and everything else along the way because of that. What Solomon is trying to do throughout this book is to try to help us to see that perspective that he had, even with all of his wisdom and everything, and maybe especially because of that, and come to a conclusion at the end that would do all of us good to understand. But we're in chapter 3 right now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and remember, all the chapters and verses were never included in the original writings of the Bible. Ecclesiastes was a scroll of the writings of Solomon from this point, and so we're glad that we can refer to chapters and verses that were added all later so we can talk about specific things. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and starting in verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16, and we talked about this a little bit last time, but let's just get a run at it. He says, "And I saw something else under the sun." There's that phrase again. I saw something else under the sun. So from a human perspective, from an earthly perspective, I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. Okay? And boy, don't we all know that? I mean, we know when things are unjust, when something's not fair, when we see people cut in line or cut somebody off in traffic, or there's just a number of different things that we could think about. And in the courtrooms, in the classrooms, bullies pick on younger, less strong people than they are, and just on and on it goes. We could list so many examples of where justice should be that there's wickedness there, and that's the way it is under the sun. That's the way it is between sinful mankind without a godly perspective, that there's always going to be bribes and there's always going to be injustice and people are going to learn the loopholes and how to do this and that. And they're going to seemingly get away with doing those things where other people have to wait. They just charge in. Okay. So that's grievous, isn't it? I mean, that really ticks us off. It makes us mad. It makes us fume. It makes us say, hey, I want justice done here. Well, guess what? No matter how hard we try and no matter how upset we get and however else, guess what? It's just going to keep right on happening under the sun. Why? Well, again, because people don't have a godly perspective on this. Now, Solomon comes to the right conclusion here after thinking that. And here's something about verse 16. If you just let your mind go down that road, I mean, you're going to get bitter. You're going to get cynical. You're going to just think badly about everyone and everything, and nothing's fair and nothing's just and nobody's right and everybody's wrong. And that's a pretty bad perspective to get, okay? Because when you start using infinitives like that, you're going to get yourself into a cynical mess. You're not going to see anything good in life. You're going to have no joy. Everything's just going to be, okay? So here's what we need to remember is that even though wickedness is in the place of judgment and in the place of justice, many times where there should be, there's not. Here's what Solomon also said to himself, verse 17. God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. Now, God does that, and sometimes even in the interim, like right now, sometimes God sends his judgments. Sometimes God doesn't let people get away. Moses said long time before this, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, sometimes, you know, God can bring about some of those things, and he does bring about justice even now. But here's what I always want you to remember, and this is not an under the sun perspective. This is a heavenly perspective, and that is that God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. So, in other words, God has given us life. That's true. God has given us free will. In other words, we are beings. We are living beings that have a mind. We have intelligence. We have emotion. We feel. We act. We can do so many things. We think. We have logic and reason. And the most important thing is that as human beings, we're created in the image of God. And so that makes us unique and wonderful. And yet, here's the thing. God said, sure, you have life that I gave you. You have free will. You can choose what you're going to do, how you're going to live, what you're going to listen to. But there will be judgment. You will reap what you sow. God told Adam and Eve at the very beginning, you're welcome to eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. Do it. Help yourself. But not this one. And the day you do, you'll die. Consequences, right? And that's what God told him. Satan came along and said, oh, come on, you know, really? You don't have to listen to him. And he's just trying to keep you away from knowledge. And, you know, this is really good. He just doesn't want you to be like him. And all the other things that he said to Eve that you can read back there in Genesis 3. And he deceived her. And she took the fruit and she ate of it. I almost said apple. Doesn't say it's an apple, okay? Sorry, those of you that have always thought that the fruit was an apple. Doesn't say it was an apple. Probably wasn't an apple, okay, right? But, you know, whatever. The point is that the main point is here is this, is that God said don't, Satan said do, and they exercised their free will in doing what Satan said to do instead of doing what God said to do or not doing what God said to do. And so, sure, we can make those decisions, but we're going to bring ourselves then into judgment because of those things. There will be a judgment day, a final judgment day. And Romans 14 kind of speaks of that when he's writing to God's people, chapter 14 and verse 10. He says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt?" He said, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." Okay? We're not going to get away with anything. Okay? You can run, but you can't hide, as that old saying goes. And here again in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, at the end of the revelation that Jesus gave to John the apostle, he says in Revelation 20 verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Whoa, a serious, serious time of judgment. And folks, we need to be aware, it's coming. You cannot and you will not ever get away from it. Okay? It is going to happen. It's appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so God's going to judge all of our deeds. Are we ready for that? We sing that song. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? And so here's what we need to consider going back into Ecclesiastes 3. Yes, under the sun, place of judgment, wickedness. Place of justice, wickedness. But God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. And God will ultimately judge every deed. And so we need to make sure we don't get so cynical about life that we forget that perspective. That when we think somebody's gotten away with something, if we think some lawyer got somebody off the hook or somebody cheated and got away with it, well, maybe under the sun, but not before the God of heaven, okay? And this is why it's so important for us to make sure that we have the right perspective in this life. If we just have an under the sun perspective, our names are not going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because don't care about God, don't care about the Lamb, don't care about anything. It's just all about here and now. It's just all about what happens here. There's much more than that. Remember, we talked about that God has set eternity in the human heart. He's set eternity in the human heart. We're going to either pursue it or we're going to reject it. We're either going to seek God or we're going to just ignore him. Well, guess what? You can choose to do all that, but here's the point. Someday there's going to be a judgment day, and then all of our excuses, all of our whatevers, all of our own thinking, it's not going to end up very well when you understand what Revelation says there at the end. And so even though Solomon was kind of cynical about this, he came to a better perspective, and that's what will help us in this life. Whenever we start looking at the world and all it's doing, we need to remember, wait a minute, God's perspective is over all of that. All right? Now, we're going to listen to our first song this morning before we jump into verse 18. This is a song by Casting Crowns called Thrive. All right? Rather than just kind of exist and survive and bear with it, God's people are called to thrive in this world. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be creative. He wants us to use our energies. He wants to use our minds and our talents and everything else to grow and be successful and to do something, to make a difference. And so I hope that's you this morning. I hope you're not cynical and bitter and bogged down by all kinds of of unforgiveness and things in your life that you're always thinking about what somebody did to you 50 years ago or 15 minutes ago. Get rid of it and thrive as you live your life. Let's listen to Casting Crowns sing this.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
All right, we're back this morning, and let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 18. Solomon says, I said to myself. Now, remember, Solomon's musing in his head. He's saying to himself, he's thinking to himself, you know, these are private thoughts, but by the Holy Spirit, we have these things recorded for us so that we can understand how this wise man whom God had gifted with such great wisdom, even in spite of that, still got cynical and he still got bitter and he still pursued sinful things that he shouldn't have. And so his perspective can kind of help us to understand this under the sun perspective and also a heavenly perspective. Now, here's one of these under the sun moments again. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Now, that is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Because in the very beginning, when you go back to Genesis, we are so different and unique and above the animals, it's not even funny. We are created in the image of God. Animals are not. Okay? Yes, we have the same breath, and that's what we're going to see in just a minute. God has given life to all of us, but animals are not created in the image of God. All right? And that's the distinction. That's why humanistic thinking that says that we evolved from animals is wrong. It's just flat wrong. Okay? I had a friend once that had a shirt that says, "Evolution, man making a monkey out of himself." Okay, we're not monkeys. We never were monkeys. Okay, when God created monkeys, he created monkeys. When he created human beings, he created human beings in his image. Monkeys aren't created in the image. And somebody says, well, how come they look so much like us? And they do, don't they, right? I mean, a monkey, gorilla, whatever, chimpanzee, they look a lot like a human being. Somebody says, well, why do they look so much like us if we didn't evolve from them? Because we have the same creator? Is that so hard? Okay, but here's the thing. You cannot, if you read the entirety of the Word of God, come to the conclusion that men are like the animals. We are much different, but in some ways we're the same. And here's that sameness. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals here on earth. Okay, I would put, you know, as a comment, the same fate awaits them both. That's right. As one dies, so does the other. That's exactly right. The breath of life that both human beings and animals have expires when we die. Okay, when we physically die, when we quit breathing, guess what? That's the same fate. Okay, all have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over the animals. Yes, in that instance, in just physical life, the fact that God gave us both the breath of life, yeah, you're right. There's no advantage over the animals. Okay, but there again, that's cynical, isn't it? When you just look at it like that, when you think, oh, well, you know, we're just like animals. We just die and we just all go back to the dust. Everything's meaningless. There's that cynicalness again. Okay, and in verse 20, all go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. And that's absolutely true of our physical bodies. Okay, God created the physical body of Adam from the dust of the earth. All right, and so guess what? When we die, we're buried, we go back to the dust. All right, and it's the same way with animals. When they die, they go back to the dust of the earth from which they're created. So, I mean, it's just, it's so easy for us when we have an eternal perspective to see that this is just under the sun, yes, cynical, meaningless thinking that, wow, human beings are just like the animals. Sure, in some ways, but there is a definite advantage. Now, verse 21 is interesting because it says, who knows if the human spirit rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? All right, you know, there's some different ways to look at that as far as translating, but let's just say that Solomon poses it as a question. I mean, again, it has to be from an earthly humanistic point of view where you don't consider God. Well, who knows? Okay, and that's where most people in the world are. Who knows? Okay, why is that? Because they don't know God. That's why. They don't know God, and so Who knows whether the human spirit goes up or the human spirit of the animal goes down? You know, they don't know. And they have nothing to base it on. And skeptics and those that would attack the scripture say, wow, see, look at what Solomon said. Just because Solomon said something like this doesn't mean that it's approved in the court of heaven as absolute truth. Okay, guess what? In Genesis 3, like we already talked about, Satan lied. He told absolute, complete, total falsehoods, and yet they're still recorded in the scripture, right? There's people that do terrible, wicked, ungodly things in the pages of scripture. Does that mean God approves of all of them, that we should just follow them? No, absolutely not. And so when he asks this, again, it's just part of that humanistic, fatalistic, you know, what nothing really matters and no advantage over the animals. You know, we just evolved from them in our stupid humanistic thinking, and we're all going to go back and we're all going to die. And so what's the point? Well, listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Let's just jump ahead real quick. Okay. He's talking about in chapter 12 to remember the Creator in the days of your youth before you get old. And then he uses a whole lot of metaphorical, figurative language to talk about getting old. But then in verse 7, he says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. Right? That's what Solomon said. But then he says, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Okay? So, you know, Solomon knows where the spirit of man is going to go. Okay? From the end of this chapter, he obviously knows it. So this question, or maybe it could be stated different, is the idea that this is how people under the sun look at it. This is what happens when you get cynical and, well, what advantage is there? There isn't any. And so that's the kind of thinking he's trying to get us to get away from, to realize, no, that doesn't have anything that I need. And so here's the conclusion, verse 22. So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? All right, you know, from that perspective, okay, try to get the most out of life that you can and do your work and enjoy it and have that, because that's all there is. And you might as well enjoy something than nothing and getting bitter and cynical. But there's so much more. What will happen after them? We can know that from a heavenly perspective. We can know. And so please, I implore you all over again, seek God. If you haven't ever started seeking him, seek him. If you've been seeking him, keep it up. If you've kind of got lukewarm, get on fire again and start drawing near to God again. Hey, my name, we're the Church at Las Vegas, all right? And we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we would love to have you come join us as we open up the scriptures, we open up the Word of God and challenge each other, encourage each other with that. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Also, Wednesday, we're starting to go through the book of Revelation, so you might be interested in that. Also, in February, we're going to be having a revival meeting that's going to be coming up, and so we're really looking forward to that. We're going to give you some more details about that next week and on our website. You can find out all the details at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. We're going to have some information up there, but we're really excited about that. We hope that you'll come out and join us for that as well. Hey, again, I want to encourage you, don't get bitter and cynical about life. Don't just go, everything's unfair and who knows. God can give you answers. The Word of God can give you the answers, and especially about standing on the solid rock. The solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who we need to build our life on. That's where our hope and joy is. That's where we need to be. So God bless you. We'll see you or hear you next week, Lord willing. Take care.